Hello, everyone, and welcome to Showhoppers. Today, we're covering The Regime, Season 1, and probably only in its entirety. It's our recap episode. I am Mr. Sal, high school science teacher who has recently finished watching The Regime on HBO just as it finished dropping. And I'm here talking about our viewing experience with my co-host and former student, Kurt, but we like to call him The Rooster.
Ah, Tomas, yes. Did you actually call me The Rooster, like behind my back?
Behind your back, I do.
All right. I mean, as long as it's behind my back, can I really complain? I don't know it, then it can't hurt me.
The Rooster. I have never called you that before, but I will now be calling you The Rooster henceforth.
All right. I mean, all right. Whatever.
We got a lot to do, Kurt.
We do.
We have a lot to do. So let's get started with our rundown of our favorite episodes, from our least favorite right up to our favorite. Kick us off. Number 6. All right, Kurt. My number 6. Well, you and I have very similar lists here. Extremely similar.
Basically the same. You know, honestly, I could have just made them the same. I'm not that tied to the two that I put the way they are, but okay. I mean, it is what it is. They are, yes, very similar lists.
Very similar lists. In fact, our bottom two and our top two are exactly the same. Our middle two are just reversed. So we both have the same number 6. It's the pilot episode, the premiere, Victory Day, episode 1. We both gave it an 8. You know, I think that this series is kind of defined by its bookends, by the beginning and the end.
Yes.
And there were some really high points in the middle, but the beginning and the end are kind of, as we're going to see, are our weakest episodes, the weakest episodes we felt. And I think that that's where the lack of a coherent and consistent tone really hit it hard, especially in this episode. This did not look like a comedy from any of the promotion that I saw. Did it to you?
No, I didn't think it'd be a comedy in the slightest. It's something we'd have to deal with throughout.
And it was just, this first episode was so like quirky and goofy. Like I bet I would like this first episode more if I went back and watched it now. But in the moment, I was like, what is this that I'm even watching? So that, I think it suffered from that. I did like some things about it. I liked when Zubak kind of got Elena on his side and turned her on her cabinet and said, there's no illness in this house except for them. They are causing the illness. Get rid of them. And then she did. You know, that was pretty cool. It was interesting. It's interesting thinking about this episode now, knowing where Zubak and Elena end up. And seeing how, you know, in this episode, she's smacking him around and saying, don't you ever make me look ridiculous. I'm not ridiculous. Look at me.
Yes. And that, so, I remember that was my favorite scene for this episode.
Because
that was like, there's some dark undertones, just the sense of how much control Elena has. But that's, I was terrified for Herbert. And at this point, later on in the series, I don't think either of us are really rooting for Herbert anymore. But at this point, it's like, poor guy, right? He's just been arrested here. Everyone's talking down on him. He's got to work under this lady who seems not like a great person. And when he's doing right as she asks. And because he does that, but in front of the Americans, he gets punished for it. And it's kind of terrifying. So,
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting because it sets up this relationship between Elena and Zubak, but we never see it like this again, really. And we never see Zubak this low. We never see Elena this, unhinged, unstable. What's the word for it?
Stable, I think, is good.
Yeah, we never see any of this stuff again. So I guess this is just like, here's where they started. But I don't know. This episode really was kind of jarring because it wasn't what I expected. And even retrospectively, not the most enjoyable episode of the series for me.
Biggest analogy, I think we said while covering it, and maybe yep. after the fact, the old man. It's similar to the old man in the sense that if you're watching the old man, just expect like a real action-packed series.
Yeah.
You're not going to get very much of that after the first episode. Eventually, maybe, but there's not that much action in the old man.
But, you know, you got it in the first episode, so if that's what you came for, you got it. That's why the pilot was, like, the highest-rated episode for that series.
Yeah, it's still a really good series, though.
Well, I love it. I love it the way it is, but anyway. All right, let's move on. Number five. My number five and your number five is the other bookend of the series, the finale, Don't Yet Rejoice. We both gave this one, well, I gave this one a 9, you gave it an 8. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, there's just a suffering here of tone. Like it's not, there's humor and there's poignancy and not enough of either.
Not enough either. No, I see what you're saying. Oh, wait, finish your thought.
No, I mean, that's mostly it. I got a comment from a user on Reddit. I should probably look up who that was. I will as I speak here. Who said, you know, it's as though you watch the series and you get to the end and you say, huh, I didn't realize that the series could be that poignant. And I think they're totally right. That wasn't anywhere in the whole series. And then all of a sudden it's there at the end. And it's good. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's like, it's like a betrayal.
A betrayal of us, right?
What do you mean? Sorry. A betrayal of us?
Yeah. Like they've betrayed us?
No. No. Like as in Elena betrayed Herbert.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose so. So I'm going to read you the whole comment because I actually really like this comment. It's the user is Personesque on Reddit. And they say, agreed that the tone of the show was uneven. Episode 6 had both the funniest scene of the series and the most poignant emotional ones. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. This is in response to my post of our coverage of the finale, by the way. They go on to say, if every episode had this mix, it would have made for a better show. I agree with that too. But instead, we got some that were only sort of funny and none that came close to the poignancy of the last episode. So it's like, oh, I didn't know this show could do that. And I didn't know they're trying to make me care about these characters in this way until the very last episode.
I see. Yes, that is very true. I mean, because my biggest complaint, especially after watching the finale and it really sunk in for me, was I don't really care for these characters that much.
No,
we don't root for them. It's just, I don't know. I just don't really care too much about them.
That's not to say that they're not compelling and fun to watch or interesting to watch. It's to say that you don't root for them. You don't really care what outcome they get.
No, I don't feel bad for Herbert for being betrayed, and I don't really feel that like sad or guilt-ridden or empathetic for the tricky situation Elena was in.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there are series where you root for someone to get their comeuppance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really rooting for that here. And and there are series where you root for someone to come out on top and get what they want. And I wasn't rooting for that either. And so what was I rooting for here? Really nothing.
Just watching a story come along. And that's really the weakest point to me. Some other complaints I'll throw in there was just, I feel like there's questions out there, especially Oscar. I feel like this whole Oscar.
Oh my God. Like,
what happened to Oscar?
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. That bothers me.
But what I loved about this episode was it did have the funniest scene in the whole series with Tomas, the rooster. and it also, I really loved the callback to Laskin. That was both of our favorite scenes. Those Laskin interrogations were really fantastic. So
Laskin's really good. Emil's really good. Those two scenes, like Tomas to Mr. Laskin to Emil, all of that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The beginning, not so great, you know, but it's not even that there's bad stuff in this episode. It's that this didn't feel like a satisfying, there's no satisfaction garnered from this episode because we didn't care about the outcomes the characters got.
Exactly. Yeah. Like as a series finale and or even, I mean, probably series finale. Most certainly series finale. It doesn't It just doesn't leave anything in my mouth. I'm not going to really, I don't think I'm going to think about it after we're done with this recap and we've passed it.
I won't either. Although I will say that this is probably not my least favorite series that we've covered. I think that A Murder at the End of the World still owns that title.
I think so too. I don't think this is worse than A Murder at the End of the World.
I enjoyed watching this one a lot more than that one. I had much more fun watching this one.
Yeah, there were ups and downs. Yeah, I mean, there was a down, then there was an up, and then it went back down.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's move on then.
Number 4 and 3.
What?
Oh. Two?
What? So this is where we have a discrepancy. Okay, so we've got two episodes, and we'll just talk about both of them here. We're talking about the penultimate episode, which was All Ye Faithful. Mm-hmm. And that was my number 4. That was your number 3. My number 3 and your number 4 was The Hero's Banquet. So it's episode 5, is All Ye Faithful. Episode 3, The Hero's Banquet. So let's talk about All Ye Faithful first, since that's my number 4. Mm-hmm. This is where, I mean, really things come to a head here. But they're showing us the march of the rebels throughout this episode. We're seeing domestic Zubak and Elena. I mean, they're even in couples therapy, or at least dream therapy, I guess. I don't know. they're giving each other terrible Christmas presents. And it's all very interesting. I think my favorite stuff in this episode has to do more with the Tricky Trio, because they're recognizing the futility of sticking with Elena here and trying to figure out a way to get rid of her, stay alive, and maintain power. And that was tricky for that Tricky Trio. but in the end, the decision is made for them, because the castle is set upon. Although Elena was about to theoretically turn over control to Herbert.
Which, so. Something that bothered me now in the finale, looking back at this episode, was the fact that it did not end up mattering as much as I wish it did. Like, Zubak does bring it up, the fact that, hey, I don't think you were going to actually give me control. But she says her line of, I would never betray you, and it's left there. Yeah, I liked this episode for thinking back about it with when the protesters, or mm-hmm. I guess it's a civil war at this point, so when the rebellion gets inside the palace and everything, I actually think that's pretty cool. Like, this kind of actually sequences, the Tricky Trio gets away in the helicopter, they're thinking about how to mm-hmm. overrule. I thought it was a setup for the finale. I didn't know where they were going to go because I didn't watch the next on. So I was excited. I was also really intrigued by what was going to happen with Oscar now that Agnes died.
Right.
That we never got anything on. That was something I was also intrigued by. Like, would they ever end up going back? She commented about going back for Oscar, then went, never mind.
No, it's too late. We've gone too far. Yeah, it's a fun episode. I enjoyed it. I don't really have too much negative to say about it. It lacks, I guess what it lacks, as we're going to see from my top two and your top two, is like another, like, a third character to come in and really wow us. Right?
I think, yeah. I mean, you commented when we were watching episode 5. Singer was...
Yeah.
I mean, and of the lot, he seemed to be the most, I guess, lively of the Tricky Trio, where mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. kind of pressed the envelope, said some things. But in this episode especially, yeah. I mean, it even ends, or at least the last we see of him, is him telling it off to Elena as...
Farewell, my cuckoo. I think that's what he said. Something
and
about
off
my
they
cuckoo.
Go to wherever they go.
Right, yeah, exactly. And I would have loved to have seen him one more time, but
no need.
I will.
No need.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. This is also the episode in which Agnes is shot dead. And that's sad, because she's one character that I maybe could have rooted for and was rooting mm-hmm. for.
Yeah, Agnes is definitely the one that I felt... Yeah, I was rooting for the most.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about then my number 3, your number 4, Hero's Banquet, which was episode 3. I mean, this one is, to me, this is the choke episode, not the choky tuggy episode, just the choky episode. All right, this is the episode where Herbert crosses the line. I mean, he crosses the line multiple times. He hurts Elena, dragging her across the floor to go to the vent in the gym, and then he hurts her even more when he wraps his hand around her throat. And this is all the while she's, while he's got his hand around her throat, calling him, you know, an ox and a butcher. So this is a pretty shocking episode. Again, I don't think, other than the last two episodes, which are the ones that, you know, chronologically, in the timeline are closest together because they're right back to back. The dynamic between these two is different in every episode. And that is, I think, the strength of the series. I think that's what it did the best.
It did.
Because this is the episode where she clearly despises him.
Yeah.
And he's clearly grasping at straws to maintain her love.
That are like, she surprisingly turned sour. I mean, going into this episode, we were wondering, yeah, so they're together now. Like, what's that? Is it going to end with Subac getting control? They're going to rule together. Yeah. And this is definitely a U-turn. And that is my favorite part of the episode, is probably the ending. That was my favorite scene. Yep. With
mine too.
Did not anticipate. I mean, throughout the episode, she's definitely shrugging him off, sending him to the Fabian corridor, what mm-hmm. have you. But I wasn't expecting him going to jail or imprisonment or gulag or whatever you want to call the dungeon.
I mean, it was really the basement.
But yeah. But I called them the catacombs, even though they're technically not catacombs, I think.
Exactly. Catacombs, I believe, are burial sites.
They are.
Sites,
but so, that's where they were going to end their lives.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's it. Yeah, look, there's a lot to love about this episode, too, I think. And I don't have too many complaints about this episode or the one we just talked about, All You Faithful. It just, in the context of the whole series, you know, the series suffers. It's not necessarily because of these episodes, but these episodes are going to take a bit of a hit here.
Listen, if you took a nice car, if you went to go on a nice road trip, and right as you left, you got a flat tire, man, you would remember that. Mm-hmm. About that road trip. Yeah. And then when you got to the destination, you got another flat tire. That would suck as well. But that doesn't mean the in-between part was bad. No, it was a nice car ride. That's okay. That's the analogy.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's move on.
Number two.
We have the same number two, although I gave this a 10, you gave it a 9. It's episode two. The Foundling. I think the commonality that our top two episodes have are they have a big third party. Mm-hmm. Not Laskin, not Singer, not Nikki. Like someone coming in from the outside or deep within the inside, I guess.
Deep underground.
And really shaking things up. And in this one, it's Martha Plimpton as Judith. When I think of this episode, The Foundling, I think of the Martha Plimpton scenes. I think of her coming into the castle, feeling confident that she can get Elena to do whatever she needs to, because, you know, she represents America. You know, that's it's all, we're going to make things right. Don't you worry about it. Yeah. We'll think about that too. You know, the Fabian corridor. Yeah. We'll think about it. That's a bigger conversation even than this room. But then when she gets herself isolated with Subac, it's a whole different story. Subac is extremely intimidating. She ends up racing out of there. But the tete-a-tete with her and Elena is a highlight of the series, I think. Maybe not the highlight of the series, but a highlight of the series.
I would definitely agree with that. Also to highlight the Emil Bartow stuff, where Elena holds him accountable and kind of,
yes,
you know, ambushes him in front of the press and then has him stacking chairs away. This episode, especially coming off the first episode, has that political drama that we were expecting from this series, right? In like high
yes, crisis. This is what we expected. We expected, you know, Judith and Elena tete-a-tete. We expected Emil Bartow's getting his comeuppance here. We expected the back behind the scenes wheelings and dealings of the Tricky Trio as they and Nikki, who decide, you know what, we have to not try to squash this guy, but rather accelerate his climb. And I bet they regret that several points in the series. But when you think about it, there's a big turning point here in this episode because of that, too, because this is where they decide they're going to accelerate him. And they do. They call him the Foundling's heir, and that gives him legitimacy that he didn't have before.
Yep. And they will. I'm going to regret that.
Exactly.
Wields his iron fist. But yeah, this had good political machinations. Maybe I should have given it a 10. Nah.
I do. I mean, I really do think this is a cut above almost everything else in the series, except for
number one.
Yes. You want to talk about a big guest star appearance? You want to talk about episode 4, Midnight Feast? 10 out of 10 from me, 10 out of 10 from you. It's the Edward episode. It's the Hugh Grant episode. And it's delicious as any Midnight Feast ever could be.
Really good episode. I mean, this is where I was really starting to root for Herbert in this episode. I'm thinking, all right, I like Ed as a character too. Ed with all of anyone he meets with, great, right?
Yep.
I see Herbert meeting with Ed, okay. They're going to start a coup now, it looks like. Okay, I like this, the rise of Herbert. Now he's getting into the political circle, okay. And then it takes a real heel turn that I did not expect. But I respect it. I don't think they played off of it very well after the fact, but I respect it. What they did with killing off Ed, introducing Hugh Grant, and then killing him off in the same episode.
You got to respect that. I mean, that's a gutsy call. I mean, you put him in the trailer, so everybody knows they're waiting. We were waiting for Hugh Grant.
We were waiting for Hugh Grant.
And then he's taken away from us no sooner than he's introduced. But what really great stuff along the way, though. I mean, again, the tete-a-tete between him and Elena was so entertaining. It was so good. Just barb after barb. Really amazing. The scene, I think probably retrospectively, that scene between Elena and Ed is my favorite scene in this episode for sure. But retrospectively, I have a much greater appreciation for the scene where Herbert kind of figures out that Edward isn't really any different than any other politician.
Yeah, he says a lot of words.
Yeah, and especially since they call back to this scene in the finale when Hugh Grant is asked. I'm sorry, Herbert asks Edward, I'll use their character names instead. Herbert asked Edward, and then we cut out America, right? And Edward says, yes, of course. Of course we'll need to, lift sanctions and stabilize the economy and all that. And Herbert realizes, oh, this is just another politician. Like this is not someone overly special like I thought he might be, right? And he sees it in Elena in the last episode too. We're going to go along with this but we'll be working against it the whole time. They just won't know it. It'll be our little secret. But I do want to bring Personesque back in here, Reddit user Personesque, because they also commented on in this episode, kind of counter to what you're saying. So I wanted to just throw this at you a little bit and see what you think about this. So if Herbert had sided with Keplinger and tried to overthrow Elena, the show might have been more interesting, but it would have broken the satire. The enforcer chuds are not supposed to abandon the populist, authoritarian, charismatic leader in favor of a leftist one. They're supposed to be intensely drawn to authoritarian and loyal, even when it goes against their own self-interest, which is something that Edward talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on to say, knowing that the show was political, we should have expected that Zubak would remain loyal. Like Zubak says to Keplinger, I don't love you. I could love you, but I don't. It would ruin the message of the show if Zubak jumped teams. Now, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it would ruin the message of the show, because I'm not sure that I know what the message of the show was.
So what I can say is, if you wanted to still keep that like intense, fervent love for the political figure, is that yes, Zubak changes, but that's because he has a much more intimate relationship with them, right? Like he was with Elena. Yep. Elena literally threw him in a dungeon. He gets swooned, or maybe now that he's kind of part of it, he's not pessimistic, Machiavellian in a way, jaded as well, yeah. Right? Like he's part of it. Like he's like a politician now. That would be kind of cool seeing Zubak turn into a politician. Maybe he gets. What I thought could happen is that he works with Ed. He yeah. kind of becomes like a politician, and he had a built-in fan base. It looked like, right? People
looked like it, yeah.
Yeah, from the previous episode, people loved
him. He polls well.
Yeah, so he polls well, exactly. In episode 5, so I felt like basically he could have replaced her. But yes, it would have been, I guess, the politics would have been different. But if it's about the figure they care about, really, he's just getting them to stop caring for Elena and like him. That's what I thought they might go with, right?
Right.
He'd be like the figurehead. And
yeah,
but they obviously didn't. And but I don't think that gets rid of like the message that Reddit commenter was outlining in the fact that people are more drawn to the person themselves, kind of despite their policies.
Yeah, and I actually really like that. I'm really interested in that idea that people are less interested in policies that will help them than they are in a person they can relate to.
And you know what, honestly, if it's about, definitely in a comical sense, Zubak or Elena passing policies that don't really help their constituents, Zubak could probably pass some of those. There's probably some legislation that he feels strongly about that probably wouldn't be the best.
Yeah, exactly. But let's not forget, this episode ends with Zubak and Elena getting it on right in front of Nikki. So, this is the height of the series as far as I'm concerned. This is look at what we can do. This is what you came to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get it for an episode or two, just not for 6.
No, not for 6. And not for the bookends.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Although I will say there's a lot that I really like about the finale that I don't think it deserves the 8 that you gave it, but I understand why you're frustrated with it.
There's 3 really good scenes of the finale. And if it wasn't a finale, like if that was the penultimate episode, I give it a way higher rating. Because then there's like, there's a episode after it that can do the things that I'm missing from this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, it's the finale. In a way, a finale can get an even higher ranking because it gets the benefit of the setup from the episodes before. But if it can't pay it off, it gets punished for it. Yeah. So that's why.
All right. I will say I do think it's a little reductive to say there are 3 good scenes because those 3 good scenes are about half an hour long.
That is true. That is reductive, but you know why? I said it.
Anyway. All right, Kurt. So that's it for our ratings here. So let's our rankings. Ratings are what we do within an episode. This is the recap episode. So let's talk titles. Let's talk titles. All right. We've got favorite title, least favorite title, or best title, worst title, depending on how you want to phrase it. We only have 6 choices, so I'm not showing you my short lists once I reveal what my actual least favorite is. So, you know what? Let's do best title first. We usually do worst title first. Let's do best title first.
Okay.
So, all right. I'll take a guess at you first because I don't know why. Just because. So, you usually like a title that's going to help you remember what happened in the episode. And honestly, I think these titles are pretty good at doing that, with maybe one exception, but we'll get there when we get there. I think your favorite title, though, you know, I feel like you made some comment about Christmas music while the episode was happening. I think you'll like that there's a Christmas music lyric in the title, All Ye Faithful. And I think you like that it's kind of expressing the opposite of what's happening. All the unfaithful are coming and marching on the Capitol. So I'm going to go with All Ye Faithful for you.
And you typically like in your titles something that is a theme for the entire series. Why? I'll never know. Because I feel I'll never know, because that's the title for an episode, not the whole series. We don't want to rename the series after a title. So maybe Victory Day. I mean, Elena ends on top. Not Heroes Banquet, not Midnight Feast, not The Foundling. I guess Don't Yet Rejoice. That's what I'll say for you. Don't Yet Rejoice.
Okay. You did not get me correct. So I said... I mean, you said not this episode, but I did say this episode. I do generally like a title that expresses the theme of the season. I don't really feel like there's a good theme for the season expressed in any of these titles.
Fair.
But I guess the one that expresses it the best and also really is going to, I'll never forget what happened in this episode because of it, is The Foundling. So The Foundling, I really like that they use this thing that only came up right at the end of the episode, The Foundling. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what The Foundling was before the end. But it really, I mentioned it when we talked about it in our recaps, that it changed the series because all of a sudden Zubak was legitimized. He was just a clown that she had an infatuation with before. Now he's the Foundling's heir. And that kind of changed the series. So I like that for it. And I think that that kind of became, if not a theme of the series, at least an inflection point of the series. So I went with The Foundling.
Interesting. So you picked the title that would help you remember what happened in the episode.
Well, no, they all do, though. All the titles.
They all do for the most part.
With maybe one exception. So.
Well, we'll have to see for that. But I picked, you got me wrong.
Okay.
I went with Midnight Feast. I'll always remember that's the episode where Ed was.
Yeah. Nice. I think that's just
Midnight Feast.
I think that's just because it's your favorite episode.
It probably is, too. But the title fits for the favorite episode, too.
Yeah, it does.
I go like, oh yeah, that was the episode with Hugh Grant because he had his Midnight Feast.
Yeah, I don't think an AI generated these titles.
No.
they actually put some thought into these.
They are pretty all competent titles.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the other recent series we've done with their titles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then worst title. I guess I'll go first then. What do I think? I don't think you did Midnight Feast. Obviously, you didn't do The Foundling. That's your favorite. Heroes Banquet. That actually happens in the episode. All Ye Faithful. You just gave the reasons why I put it as my favorite. And then Victory Day is an actual event. So did you do what I guessed for your best title and put Don't Yet Rejoice?
Let's see. I think you said Don't Yet Rejoice as your least favorite title because I don't think you get anything that happened from the episode out of that title. So.
Spot on.
Yeah.
I go, when were they about to rejoice?
Yeah, and I thought about saying Don't Yet Rejoice. I'm going to change my mind right now and say yes. Also, Don't Yet Rejoice.
It's one thing if there was like a rug pull. And you know what? Actually, this had an opportunity now that I talk about this title is they win, it looks like almost, right? But it's titled Don't Yet Rejoice. So it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
They haven't actually won yet. You know, we the viewers know they haven't won yet.
Thanks to the episode title. When you say they, who are you talking about when you say they?
Zubak and Elena.
Oh, okay. So when I hear Don't Yet Rejoice, I think of the Rebels. Like they're rejoicing because they won, but they didn't actually.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. Still doesn't change. It's all, it won't change.
No, it's my least favorite title. So
I'm glad you hopped on the right ship.
I did. Okay, let's talk about the people who died in this episode, or not this episode, this season. I think that I've identified four that we can include in our categories here. I've identified Edward, Agnes, Laskin, and Herbert. How's that sound?
That is reasonable.
Did I miss anybody, or do we want to strike anybody from this list?
I will not strike anyone, and if you missed anyone, they're probably minor enough not to care.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about the most shocking death. I think that the most shocking death for you was not Herbert. I think that was probably the least shocking death to you. Maybe, Agnes was going into a firefight. That would be surprising if you said that was I think Edward. I think you said Edward was the most shocking death.
So, besides Herbert, who's the most telegraphed.
Yeah.
Edward, Agnes, and Laskin are all pretty sudden, and unexpected deaths. Yes, Agnes is in the middle of a firefight, but she dies pretty quickly, nonetheless. It's not like there's a big struggle. She just kind of looks like she's shot.
Yep. Goes down
accidentally, or just someone sees her and shoots her, and there's not even a kerfuffle over it. So really, I'm stuck between these three for you. I think, looking at it objectively, And you're an objective guy, right? You're a teacher.
I like to think I'm objective sometimes. So if you're not an objective always.
Person, the most objective prize.
By definition, what we do on this podcast is subjective, though.
Well, yeah, but you're an objective subjective.
Oh, okay. Or I'm objectively subjective?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or is it subjectively objective? Who knows?
Maybe that.
You're the objective one here. And that doesn't sound like a word anymore. Laskin's death is like the most quick and sudden of them all. So I will say Laskin.
Yeah, you got me right.
Ooh, see, Mr. Objective.
That was objectively the most, like, sudden. Yes. So, yes, I said that's the word you used. I like it. And, yeah, so that is my most shocking death. Who's your most shocking death?
It was Edward. You got me right. Hey, I'm more subjective. Right. What can I say? Things are more nuanced. You can't always be objective.
I get that, though, because, you know, first of all, it was Hugh Grant. You were not expecting Hugh Grant to die.
Yeah, it's the meta reason, really. It's mostly the meta reason. If it wasn't Hugh Grant, I wouldn't have put it as most shocking. But the fact it was Hugh Grant, the whole time I'm like, nah, he's not actually like, dead, is he? Like, well, even when he knocked, you know, like his head and he went limp, I'm like, he's just pretending. Is he?
He's playing possum.
Yeah.
No, I get it. All right, how about the saddest death? Who do you think I said was the saddest death?
Not Laskin and not, well, I guess actually Herbert is sad his own way, but we kind of outlined how we didn't feel that. Now see, are you a Mr. Objective here? Or are you like how you feel? I think you say Agnes. I think you're going with your emotions. You feel Agnes is the saddest death.
And you think that's subjective, not objective.
I think objectively. I mean, you could argue Edward, you could say Herbert because of like it's a betrayal. It's like the whole love story in a way type thing. But I think you say Agnes because she's like the one that we've commented that we were kind of rooting for. And she's caring about her son. She went looking for Oscar when I guess rightfully she shouldn't have, like Elena and Zubak didn't. It was too dangerous. But she did it anyways. And she got killed. So.
Okay. I think you said Agnes as well.
Is that subjective or objective?
I think that she is objectively the saddest death.
So then yes. I'm also Mr. Objective. I did say saddest. Yeah. Agnes.
Yeah, it's hard to feel like sadness as an emotion for Herbert's death or really Laskin. Maybe I was most sad otherwise about Edward.
Yeah.
But Agnes is clearly the most sad. I mean, she's someone I was rooting for. She's someone who didn't probably like she didn't wrong anyone.
In fact, she was nice to Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, she was kind of in the game, but not really. Like she wasn't manipulative. She was just trying to take care of her son, which I still would have liked to have learned how both these women consider Oscar their son.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I don't think you have to go into that though. I
don't dock it anywhere for that, but I think it would have been nice to know. Okay, I really think this whole series could have used a flashback episode somewhere. Anyway, whatever.
We got more Ed?
More Ed, that would have been awesome. All right, how about the character you're going to miss the least? I have to guess you first. All right, definitely not Edward. I think that was probably coming up in the next category. I don't think Laskin. I think you liked Laskin. I don't think you'd say Herbert. I guess you're probably going with Agnes, honestly. I think you're going to miss Agnes the least.
I think given these characters, I think you actually liked Agnes quite a bit. Edward's obviously not going to be here. He's charming. So it's either Laskin or Herbert. You wouldn't put Herbert as someone you'd miss the least. I mean, without Herbert, is Laskin's character as interesting? There's still Elena, but I think you say Laskin.
I did say Herbert, Kurt.
Oh, see, I thought about saying Herbert. I said Laskin, though.
So, all right, I get it. I mean, Laskin's probably the most minor of these characters.
There's hope for me with Agnes, right? Like, if Agnes, here's what I'll say. If Laskin died instead of Agnes, yes, he has that cool interrogation sequence, but they could have done that with even just a rebelling singer. Person, singer, or like singer. Or just a no-name person that's just try to interrogate them.
I don't think it would have been as effective, but that's fair. I take your point.
They could have done it with someone else, but Agnes was a one-of-a-kind character in the series. Taking care of Oscar and just someone I was genuinely rooting for. So I can't put Agnes as someone I'd miss the least.
No, I can't either. I just was trying not to give away the fact that I said Herbert. Here's why I say Herbert. I feel like if there was a season two of this, I'm done with Herbert. I don't want any more Herbert, but I will be sad that I don't have any more Laskin and I don't have any more Agnes and I don't have any more Edward.
That is true. And yeah, very true.
Yeah. So I know they're not planning on making a season two, but if there were a season two, Herbert would be the character I would miss the least. Which brings us to the character we'll miss the most. And you get to guess first here.
You say Edward.
And so do you.
Yeah, man. They, of course.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
They, they did the thing that Last of Us did. Where
they do.
Which we have that in the back catalog. Check that out, listeners. Yeah. But
well, season one, the back catalog. Season two and further in the future catalog.
Yeah, has yet to come out, but we will cover it. But in at least season one of Last of Us, they introduce characters, and you really fall in love with them quick. That's all I'll say. Yep. Similar to Edward. They show you and you go, wow, I love this character.
It was amazing how quickly they were able to make me fall in love with people in that show.
There's so many. It's not just
no, it's like five, I think. Something like that. For at least four that I can think of off the top of my head. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I am looking forward to season two of that. Anyway, 2025. Let's talk about some moments then. We won't guess each other's moments here because there are just too many. So let's talk about the funniest moment in the series. I think it's got to be Tomas, right?
Oh, yeah. Tomas, period.
Tomas the rooster. So funny. Yes. Okay. Just a couple other moments I just want to call back because I thought they were really funny in the moment. I think Herbert's painting was so funny. And the mustard rub. I really thought I got a huge kick out of the mustard rub. It's one of the things that made me say, okay, I'm into this series now. That was episode two. So, yeah. All right. How about the most jaw-dropping moment? This was an easy one for me.
I was stuck between two.
Okay.
And
go ahead. Tell us what you got first. I said,
well, I ultimately went with Hell in the Cell. End of episode 3, Elena versus Herbert with the Herbert versus Emil after card.
Ah, okay. Herbert versus Emil after card. And I went with, I mean, that is very shocking. That was on my short list. But what I ultimately went with was Herbert and Elena getting it on in front of Nikki. Because I was shocked. My jaw hit the floor. I think I audibly went, what the hell? And it was something. I was never expecting that.
That is fair. That was very shocking.
Yeah. All right. How about the most emotional moment? I thought about saying Agnes dying, but honestly, I just didn't feel it at that point. The place where I didn't feel a ton of emotion throughout this whole series. Even that last episode where I was supposed to feel emotions and poignancy for those two characters, I just didn't like those two characters enough to feel any emotion toward them. So what I went with, really surprisingly, but I think it's surprising, I went with the speech that her father gives when he like comes to life in her dream.
Oh, and like berates her.
Oh,
we see her point of view of it.
That is the one time in the series where I really felt something for her, like that wasn't just what a clown or what a horrible person, or what a shrewd actor. Like sometimes I felt that toward her too. This is where I really felt like, wow, this poor person. I feel terrible. This is in her head. This is not her actual father talking to her, although he probably said things much like this in his life. This is the stuff that she has to think about constantly because this is what has been incepted into her by her father. That, I thought, was pretty emotional.
This is kind of an odd take on emotional, and you might complain about it. But I don't care. This is what I've put for the most emotional moment, which was Zubak's rage and eventually ending Ed, right? But it doesn't just start with him killing Ed. He kills the two guards, and then he goes and kills Ed. Yeah. He kind of decides he loves Elena and screw Ed. So I consider that an emotional moment. And I put
that's
that
fine. I'm not gonna give her a hard time about that.
Thank you. Because otherwise, I was thinking about it. I don't know. And agrees with you. Even though with Agnes's death, you would think is the most emotional. Yep. It was just so sudden, and it wasn't very sad. I debated putting like Agnes the sight, like when her when Oscar releases Elena the DeCarp scene, and she's talking with him.
Yep.
But I decided more with Herbert deciding to end Ed, and he loves Elena, not him.
Yeah, that I get it.
Maybe it's because I'm sad. Maybe it's because I'm sad over Ed's death. That might be why. I might be projecting it, but there you go.
That could be. All right, what's a quote that's going to stick with you?
I'm actually really interested to see what quotes you might have put, because I thought normally, like, I finish up the series and I kind of think back and I go, all right, what's a line or like a phrase that was said that, you know, or like a theme of something, and I might not remember the exact quote and I might have to look it back up, but something that sticks with me. Honestly, nothing really stuck with me.
No.
So I went something I will always remember probably from the series, or at least I hope I will, is I would never betray you. This is the person that betrays people. So I would never betray you.
Oh my goodness.
That is kind of ultimately, if I had kind of a weak attempt on my part for saying a theme, but you know, it does end with a betrayal. That's how the series ends. So
okay. So I'm just thinking I might change it. That's why you hear typing in the background right now.
I would never betray you is not a bad one, is it, huh?
No, I'm not. It wouldn't be that. Okay. All right. Because so here's what I had said. I had said, look at me. And and the reason.
Episode one. For
all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
So this is, and that's why, because they kept saying it, the look at me stuff. And I don't know. But I'm not really sure that I'm 100% on board with what they're conveying when they say look at me. I mean, look at me can mean, you know, see me. You're not seeing me. I want you to see me. Look at me can mean I think you're full of crap. Look me in the eye and tell me that.
A clown might say that.
Jeepers.
Like, look at me. It's an animal balloon.
Right.
In these cases.
So I did think about saying that, but ultimately I'm also very interested in this idea of you refuse to choose what's best for you. I really am very interested in that. I thought about that one too. But ultimately, I'm going with something that Laskin said in the finale. He said, this is what she's done to all of us, held us captive to her love. Because the thing about that is I'm also very interested in the concept of, and this came up in Shrinking. I don't know if you remember this, the concept of emotional blackmail. Do you remember that?
No, I'm trying to think of the instance of it.
So it was Liz and Paul and Brian. They were at a party. They were all either drunk or high. Brian's case. They tell Brian that what he's doing is emotional blackmail. And then Liz proceeds to demonstrate by texting her son and saying, I'm feeling lonely and very, very blue. And if you don't call me, I don't know what I'll do, or something like that. And then her son calls her. That's emotional blackmail, right?
Yes.
And so that's what this is too, holding people captive to your love. And here's a good quote. Actually, this is the one. Now that I've talked about this, it's Ed in episode 4. Oh my goodness, this was so good. He talks about you took the people's anger and used it as your cudgel, but then they turned it around on you. But that's not exactly the exact quote. I'm going to find the exact quote in just a second here, because this is the quote of the series, I think. Here it is. You turn their pain into anger and use their anger as your cudgel. But now they're turning that cudgel on you and you're scared. That's the quote. Oh my goodness.
That's the bee's knees, Ed.
That's the bee's knees, Ed.
Ed would never betray you.
Because he was never loyal to you in the first place.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was. We'll never know because Herbert betrayed him first.
That's true. Yeah, Ed's cudgel quote. That's the one.
Cudgel.
Jeepers. I went all over the place with that. I'm sorry, folks.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
You got so I was able to get like 3 or 4 quotes in.
You really spun the gambit there.
Anyway. Kurt, the time has come for the time that I dread the most in these recap episodes. It's the character superlatives. I say I dread them, but it's almost as though I look forward to them the most and dread them the most, because I do experience like significant choice anxiety when I try to do these.
This one was rough. This one was hard.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, we're starting off the bat with goodest character.
Goodest character. Oh my goodness. So for reference, folks, goodest does not mean best character in terms of. The one that was our favorite. Goodest means the one who is the most good. In other words, has a strong moral compass, always tries to do what's right, or you know, as close to always as can be the case in this series. And whatever they do with best intentions because they think it's the right thing to do.
Think Thanos.
So, don't think Thanos.
I thought he was doing good.
Okay. All right. So, and that's also not to necessarily say that this is somebody who aligns with our moral compass, mm-hmm. but they have a strong moral compass.
Yeah, moral compass. Look back at our Watchmen, both the preview and when we did the miniseries.
Yes. That's some good stuff.
Good instances.
What a great series.
That series is very morally gray. But I felt the goodest characters are very clear cut.
And then you changed your definition of goodest characters for later series.
Do not think.
Anyway.
Check that out.
Okay. All right. Goodest character. I'll guess you first. I believe they say, I don't think you'd say Elena or Herbert. I don't think you'd say anybody in the Tricky Trio. You might say Nikki. We're not counting Oscar, right?
Yeah. No, he's, not Oscar. He's a kid. He's
barely a character. Yeah.
He could be most character growth.
Yeah.
Because literally, I don't think you'd say, in the span of a year or two.
Right. Yes, right. 2 years, because it's the 7th to the 9th, right? So, okay. I think you went with Agnes.
Yeah, I think you went with Agnes as well. I'd be shocked.
It's hard not to go with her. Okay. Agnes, right?
All right. I'm curious if you went with anyone else. I thought about Nikki. Could I like the poetry stuff? But, I mean, he's malcontenting with the Tricky Trio and lies with the Foundling. Agnes is so kind that even she's nice to Zubak, you know, when he's like hitting himself, he even asks, why are you so kind to me?
Right. And that's right after he threatens to feed her to the lions if she wrongs Elena again, after he wronged Elena.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So Agnes definitely, I think, is the goodest character. That one was the easiest one for me. I think.
No response.
Okay. Baddest character. This was a hard one to me. This was extremely hard for me.
This one is hard.
All right. So, but you have to guess me first. Thank goodness.
Who do you think is the baddest character? I don't think we know Bartos enough. I don't think you say the Tricky Trio. Ed, no. I don't think you say Judith. I don't say Nikki. I don't say Laskin. And Laskin's part of the Tricky Trio. It's either Herbert or Elena. I mean, Herbert literally kills multiple people. So I think Herbert, you say.
Okay. I don't think you would tip your hand. I don't think you said Herbert. I think you're deliberately guessing somebody that you didn't pick. I also think it might be somebody that you dismissed out of hand right away because you're trying to throw me off the scent. I think you went with Emil Bartos. That's what I think. You said, we don't know him well enough, you say.
Mr. Sal, rich people can never be bad. When will you learn? When will you learn?
Shoot.
I went with Elena.
Oh.
I said Elena. Now, she doesn't literally physically harm anyone. But...
smacks Zubak around in episode one.
She does slap Zubak. But she doesn't, to our knowledge, physically kill anyone, although it seems though she ordered whatever the beginning controversy is that Zubak was part of. They fired upon. What was that called? I forgot. But that controversy, like,
oh, the Site 5 mine thing.
Yes, the site.
Okay.
Whatever shooting. Elena, I put as the baddest character because she doesn't really seem to care for her people, and her rule has caused so much bad stuff to happen around her, right? Mm-hmm. And the enablement of like Herbert. So if you think Herbert's bad, Elena enables it basically throughout. Yeah, so Elena. All right. It would seem as though the country would do better without her. So I think it's actually pretty clear cut, Elena.
Oh, wow. Pretty clear cut. See, I don't think her intentions are as bad or bad enough to call her the baddest character. I did not say Elena. I also did not say Herbert. Because Herbert, I think, actually does have some good intentions from time
to time. He does. He does. I would not say Herbert either. I just thought...
Yeah.
Because he literally hurt people, you would say Herbert.
Now, I don't think he ever hurts anybody that he doesn't think he's supposed to for the good of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the exception maybe of Elena when he puts his hand on her throat. But I can't say Elena because Elena just... I feel like she genuinely does love her people even if she's not good for them. I feel like she genuinely... wants to do,
but she lies
the right thing sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes being the key word. I mean, she'll do what it takes to stay in power and will like lie, trick, and steal. For example, like the union stuff, right? Goes, yep. Token yep. agrees with them and then plants a bunch of false evidence and shuts that stuff down.
No, I totally agree with that. But I do think there are times when she says, you know what, this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. For example, I think it's the right thing to do to sever ties with America.
Yeah,
I think it's the right
corridor.
Yeah, take the fit. Well, that might have been more. She might not have known that it was not. But I think that it's the right thing to do to keep Oscar with me so he doesn't get hurt. I think that these.
And we got to go back for him.
These herbal, exactly. These herbal medications, I think, are the right call. So you know what, Oscar gets them too. I know a horrible idea, but
no, yeah, that's fair.
He thought it was the right thing to
that's
do.
That's true. Oh, that's fair.
So because she sometimes does actually try to do the right thing, even if she's wrong about what the right thing to do is, I can't say Elena. I did say Emil Bartos for this one.
Really?
I did because so, I. Yeah.
I'll continue on.
So the thing about Emil Bartos is, like, I don't think he ever has any motivation except what makes him more money. He actually had a trial, like a public trial, not a court trial, in this series, in episode 2 at the end here. You brought it up, actually, where all his crimes are laid out.
Yeah, underpaying his workers or, like, was it short paying them?
Yeah, so whatever. I can't remember what it was actually, but he, you know, he's all in on America to start the series. Elena goes out on America, so he says, "Yeah, we'll go all in on China." Now, America and China couldn't be more different ideologically, so it's not about his ideals that he's going from America to China. It's about his pocket. He wants the money right up to the end, where he's willing to put Elena back in power with America again. As long as she's just a puppet for America. So I don't think there's ever any good intentions with Emil. I think everything he does is done with his bottom line in mind. And a lot of the crises could have been avoided if he was not around.
Wait, sorry. The last part got me, though. What crises would have been avoided without Bartos?
So if Bartos isn't whispering in Elena's ear in episode 2, then Herbert doesn't have... that to play off of. Herbert, if he doesn't hear Bartos say something about we're all mice in a bucket or whatever it is,
I wouldn't fault Bartos for the rise of Herbert, though. That I think's like
You don't think so?
I wouldn't say that's why he's the baddest character. The rise of Herbert. You could everything else you've said. I totally get that viewpoint. But him trying to persuade Elena, which causes to give Herbert a better way of getting up, I don't think makes him bad. No, okay. Look, he wasn't trying to do that. It was kind of like an accidental consequence.
Right? Yeah, but he is a trigger for Herbert. I mean, it's his. You know, let's talk about the China briefing that kind of sets Herbert off at the banquet.
I mean, I get that, but Herbert's not a bad character, so he can't.
No, well, he's just not the baddest character.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So.
Anyway, no, I see what you mean with Emil Bartos. I see. Yeah, that's fair. He's seemingly. I mean,
I thought about saying anybody else in the Tricky Trio or the Holding Company or whatever, but I do think at times they actually tried to talk Elena down from things because it was the right thing to do, or they recognized she was doing the wrong thing. So I couldn't go with them either. So
no, yeah, Bartos definitely seems most Machiavellian for his wallet. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how about most character growth? I think I got to guess you for this, don't I? Mm-hmm. Well, you already said it, Oscar. I'm just kidding. All right, most character growth. The character that changed the most, maybe for better, maybe for worse, we don't know. But the character that changed the most. Boy, you know, the relationship between Elena and Herbert changes so much. And both characters are... I guess so different than they were at the beginning. Maybe not Elena so much. She's basically right back where she started, other than the health paranoia. I guess maybe I don't think you say Agnes. I don't think you say Nikki. I don't think you say anybody in the Tricky Trio or Ed or Judith. The only other person you might say, no, I think you say Herbert.
You say Herbert though. I think you say Agnes.
Okay. I do not say Agnes.
Who did you
say? I say. Well, no, you have to reveal yours first because I guessed you first.
What did you say? No, okay, I'll tell you. I said Agnes.
Oh, okay. Really? Agnes?
I feel like Herbert's the play here. But really, Herbert didn't change as much as he just went up the ranks. His title changed. Agnes went from stalwartly... I will not defect to she makes the decision that they're going to run away. So,
I mean, I guess.
So there. I mean, it's a legitimate change. She 180s a position.
I guess. But she, I mean, conditions did Herbert 180? So much.
All right. But did Herbert 180?
Oh, boy. I guess
exactly.
Not. I'll tell you who my pick is. Somebody who definitely 180'd. You ready for this?
Oh, what a shift.
Laskin. Laskin goes from trying. I tried with you. I tried to make you see reason. He tried to work with Elena.
The thing with Laskin,
got fired,
though,
and then ends up on the other team.
That's fair, I guess.
So,
but that's not even like growth. He just got hired by like the competitor. You know what I mean?
I don't know that. I don't think he just joined up like that.
Who knows? They put out a job posting on like Indeed. Laskin's down on his luck. He's flying around. Who knows?
I'm sticking with Laskin here. I think this is a good call.
I see what you're saying with Laskin. I think Agnes is a better pick though. She willfully changes around.
I don't know. I feel like her hand's kind of forced there. You know, they're 7 kilometers away when she makes that decision.
That is true.
But Laskin could have just gone quietly into the night and just not taken any sides at all. But instead, he decides to take the opposite side.
That's also all right. Okay. Fair.
All right. Biggest turn on a character. You get to guess me this time.
Ooh. A lot of characters here. A lot of potential turning. I think you actually went with Elena. Only because you slowly kind of learned that she's pretty politically savvy.
Okay. All right. And I think you went with, who would you, boy, I haven't thought about this at all. Who would you go with here? Elena, maybe Herbert. I don't know about that one. Nikki. I don't think Nikki. Agnes. You said she. Hey, would you go twice? Would you go three? Did you give Agnes three superlatives? I don't know. Maybe. Laskin, Singer, Bartos, Schiff, Ed, Judith. You know, I think you said Elena for all the reasons you said for me.
I won't lie to you. I had Elena. But I while you were guessing, I swapped.
Oh.
But you also swapped to? Swapped to Agnes.
You got to be kidding me.
I thought back about it. I didn't realize how important Agnes would be as a character. Which ultimately, but here's the kicker, right? I turn back and I go, oh, Agnes was never that important because Agnes just died and then we didn't see Oscar. It was all for nothing. So really, it's two turns. It's two turns.
Okay. All right. Wow. You're 3-for-4 on Agnes here. Okay. All right. I said Herbert.
I had Herbert originally. I actually had Herbert, but then so before we started tonight, I had Herbert. I forgot why I wrote down Herbert, which is why I changed to Elena. Because I went,
Here's why Herbert. Okay. Episode one, I kind of felt bad for the guy and I was kind of rooting
for
him.
That's why. Now I remember. That's why. Yes.
By episode three, at latest, maybe even episode two, I was like, no, this guy sucks. So that's my biggest turn on the character.
All right, fair.
Okay. All right. I will guess your most entertaining character. I believe you said Elena for this one.
Entertaining?
Yes.
I think you said Elena for this one.
I definitely did. She was easily the most entertaining character to me.
I'll swap to you.
What did you have?
It wasn't written down. I wrote Elena. Yeah. I meant for Elena. I did not have it written down. I did think about putting Singer here, though.
Not a bad shout.
Singer was a thought, but no. Elena is pretty comical.
She's so funny, and she's so fun to watch. She chews up the scene.
She does.
Kate Winslet, so good. So, yeah, she was easily the most entertaining character to me.
But most interesting character?
That's an interesting question.
I don't think it's either... I don't think it's Herbert. I don't think it's Nikki. I don't think it's Agnes. Maybe you said Laskin. Maybe you said Singer. I don't think he said Bartos. His shift. I don't think he said Judith. Maybe you said Ed. Maybe you said Elena. Elena?
So somebody who starts with E is what I'm hearing.
Okay. All right. So is that a hint? We're narrowing it down to that?
Well, that's what you just narrowed it down to.
No, and Singer and Laskin.
Oh, you did. That's right. You did say Singer and Laskin. I forgot.
But you said the E, so I think that's a sign. You wouldn't trick me. Most interesting character? Ed.
Okay, I think you said Ed.
Of course I did.
I did too.
Of course I did. It was so interesting. I was hoping we'd have a flashback with that. I was like, oh, man.
No.
They took him away. Why'd they even have him? I know why they had him. I'm happy they had him.
Because it made the best episode of the season.
It did.
Oh, dear.
Breaks my heart.
No, I agree, though. I'm there with you. Ed it is.
Well, I mean, this was a very diverse set of characters for our
for you
superlatives.
You had three out of in six categories. You had three characters. I had six. I didn't repeat anybody.
Well, who would have thought Agnes had three superlatives from me?
Not me. Elena, that's for sure.
So four total superlative wins for Agnes, three total superlative wins for Elena, two for Ed, and then one for Bartos, Laskin, and Herbert.
You're counting deaths now too, right?
No, just the superlatives. Just the not the death ones.
Oh, between the two of us,
Of us, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Agnes is the big winner, apparently.
Agnes.
I do love Andrea Riseborough. I think she's great. So that's pretty cool. All right. Well, Kurt, I think we're gonna call this recap here.
Okay.
All right. So. It's been fun covering the series. Not my favorite series, but there's only one favorite series, and that's The Leftovers. So, you know, we have that in our back catalog too, folks.
There's only room for one favorite.
But we have to talk about what comes next, Kurt.
Ooh, and I guess I probably should, right? Does this lean into what I'm...
Well, I mean, I'll just quickly say that in a couple of weeks, not right... away, we're going to be covering Outer Range season 2. We already covered Outer Range season 1. Go back, watch the series on Prime, listen to our coverage of season one, and then you'll be ready for season two of Outer Range on Prime, which drops all at once. Really sad about that, actually.
You hate to see it.
I do hate to see it. It's very hard for us folks when they drop all the episodes at once. Having said that, we're going to do two concurrently where that's happening. But I will tell you the exact date that Outer Range season two starts. It begins on May 16th. So May 16th, not that day. We'll be there that week with coverage of episode one. We're still only going to cover one episode a week. So we'll be dropping one episode of Outer Range season two every week, starting the week of, well, maybe not May 16th. Maybe it will start the next week, because May 16th, I believe, is a Thursday.
Ooh, that's not a good day.
Yeah, so it'll probably start the next week. So, although we'll have to adjust our schedule, I guess.
Well, we'll keep you posted.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. But Outer Range season two is coming. It's coming. But as soon as we're done with the regime, so next week, what's taking the place of the regime?
Time slot, I think this is a timeless classic. I'm a big fan of this IP. And I've been talking to Mr. Sal about it. And we just realized I've been highly anticipating its release on Netflix. That's right, listeners. Ripley. Now, listener, or Mr. Sal, why don't you explain what I explained to you about Ripley?
Very, very backwards, folks. I have actually been a fan of Ripley for quite some time. I was kind of obsessed with the novels, Patricia Highsmith novels, written a long time ago. I think
good old Patricia.
One of my favorite authors. I love Patricia Highsmith. Love her so much. I've read the Ripley series. I read the Ripley series maybe 20, maybe even more than 20 years ago. So it's been a long time since I read it, but I really loved it. So I don't remember a ton about it, but I was really excited to see a TV series coming out about it. There was a movie in 1999 called The Talented Mr. Ripley. That's the title of the book too, by the way, The Talented Mr. Ripley. Starring Matt Damon, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow. It was a good movie, enjoyable movie. I don't think it was what the book was, though. And we'll talk more about what the differences are between the movie and the book, and maybe the series and the book, if I can remember the book at all. As we watch Ripley, the series on Netflix, which I'm excited to see it done as a series, because I think there's just so much more you can do with a series than you can with a movie. It's got some good pedigree, but by that I mean some good people connected with it. The lead, Tom Ripley, is played by Andrew Scott, who you know,
Kirk Moriarty.
Moriarty from Sherlock. He's also in an episode of Black Mirror, Smithereens. He's the main character in that episode. I'm sure he'll be very good. And the series is, other than the fact that it's written by Patricia Highsmith, who's no longer alive, but it's created for television by Stephen Zalian. I don't know if I said his name right, but this guy has some amazing history in movies, especially. He's been nominated for several Oscars for the Irishman, Moneyball, Gangs of New York, Schindler's List. He won the Oscar for the screenplay for Schindler's List. So, I mean, this guy's got some chops, and I'm excited to see what he does with this series.
I'm excited as well. We both watched the pilot. I liked what I saw. It gave me Better Call Saul vibes in some ways, or Culprits.
I can see that.
Season 6, Better Call Saul in the back catalog. Culprits miniseries in the back catalog. So I look forward to it. I'll admit, I'm a bit of a fraud there, bit of a con artist. I tried to get one over you guys, much like Ripley.
Yeah, so that is what it's about. Ripley, Tom Ripley is a con artist, and he, well, that's all I'll say here. Watch the series and listen to our coverage if you want to know more.
Yes, and that'll be starting next week.
Yes. All right. So that's all we've got for the regime. Folks, please give us 5-star ratings and reviews. Please subscribe, download, follow, like, all that stuff. Share the podcast around. Tell people about it. Tell people about the regime. If you liked it, good. You know, I guess I liked it. I'm given 9s and 10s, so I must have liked it at least. So it was fun to watch. It was a fun watch. stay tuned for more from us, Ripley, Outer Range, whoever, whatever else comes after next after that. Check out our back catalog. We really appreciate with you. In fact, you know what? I bless you all, and I bless our love always.
Shoehammer some show hoppers into your day.